This hour of the Weekend Real Estate Report originally aired November 19th, 2017.
Now back to the Weekend Real Estate Report on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back. Weekend Real Estate Report, as promised, with a good friend of mine, but also a very prominent figure, Kiefer Mitchell, who is the senior advisor to Governor Hogan. And he just agreed to join us today. It's been a while trying to get him on. He's a busy man, but he found some time, so I appreciate that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Carl, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I appreciate that. So I know you got a short window here. Let's talk about maybe, in your opinion, what are some headwinds that are facing Maryland? I mean, Maryland, we have a great bond rating. You know, we're sort of a microcosm of the entire country when it comes to an economic standpoint. But we seem to be doing better than most states. What do you think are some headwinds facing Maryland?
Well, obviously, we have to think of the fiscal, in terms of fiscal matters. Yeah, the governor's done a great job in terms of reducing any of the long-term structural deficit since he's been in office. He has not raised any taxes and everything like that. But as we move forward, we still have a structural deficit in the next fiscal year coming forward of a $231 million structural deficit. So that's the main headwind that we see coming up. And also, you know, things happening out of Washington as relates to, you know, what it's going to look like in terms of tax reform, those types of things, how that's going to affect our state since we're right at the doorstep of Washington, D.C. And then there's some other issues that really don't pertain to any fiscal matters, but, you know, the continuing growing crisis of the opioid and heroin crisis that we have in our state. Those are issues. And then also, obviously, I would be remiss in saying that, you know, what's happening in Baltimore City as it relates to a surge in violence there.
You know, I mean, obviously, you spend a lot of time in the city, you know, obviously, a lot of things. I mean, the courthouse named after your family and everything. But is that a good bridge between the Annapolis and the city with you being there? I mean, are you able to maybe help influence that? Because it seems that it's always been, not always, but there's always been a little bit of a contentious relationship between the city saying, no, we got this, we can handle it, versus the governor's mansion saying, hey, look, we want to help.
Right. So, you know, the Mayor Pugh and Governor Hogan have a very good relationship. They're in constant contact on various matters. You know, when the governor brought me on, when he first came into office, he knew I was a city resident. He wanted a perspective in terms of working in a bipartisan way. I had served in the city council, but also in Annapolis in the House of Delegates as a Democrat, but also as a Baltimore City resident. So, you know, the work that I do on behalf of the governor, as it relates to Baltimore City and the legislature, I feel that, you know, the governor is best served of giving straight advice in terms of looking at, you know, all aspects of how to help the city and all.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and I teased you about this last time I saw you. Yeah, here we are, this icon of this Democratic dynasty, and then here we have a rare Republican governor, and then here you guys are, like, you know, side by side. As soon as I walk in, I'm like, wait, I did a double check, my head did a double take. But talk about that a little bit.
I mean, it's been a great experience. You know, the governor reached out to me soon after his election in 2014, asking if I would be interested in serving or in some capacity in his administration. I've been honored to do that. You know, the governor was very clear in his conversations with me, but also publicly throughout his inaugural address and a lot of the things that he's done in terms of his record, that he wants to do what's right. He doesn't care if any of the ideas are Democrat or Republican or independent. He wants to make sure that, you know, he's changing Maryland for the better, and also to make sure that, you know, all ideas are considered. You know, you talk about my family, you know, one of the big misnomers is to figure that my family were all Democrats. Well, I had a great aunt. She served as the chair of the Baltimore City Republican Party back in the day. My grandfather, whom the courthouse is named for, was a registered independent. My cousin C4 now, who is a radio talk show host, mm-hmm. and also a former legislator, is a registered independent. So I'm still a Democrat. And one of the things that I would learn from being in a political family, that the opposite party aren't evil people. That, you know, we got to work across the aisle if we want to make things better in our communities and for our society.
You know, it's great you said that, because one of the things I always cringe at is when a politician gets elected and the first thing they say is, I can't wait to get to work for my party. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you should be getting to work for the people, because you represent all the constituents. So the fact that you won, you represent all of them, not just a party. So I like hearing that.
Exactly. And you're seeing that. You know, I grew up in the days of Senator Mac Mathias and, you know, in the Senate and the House, and then also like with national figures like Howard Baker and Bob Dole and those figures that worked across the aisle to do what's right for their country, right for the state. And, you know, Governor Hogan is someone that has really preached that in terms of working across the aisle to do what's best for the state rather than what's best for the party.
You know, a good example of that would be during the Clinton administration with Newt Gingrich. I mean, they fought. But when that contract with America, some other things, that did help that economy at that time. And I think it was good that they worked together. I'd like to see more of that.
Well, I think you will, especially with Governor Hogan. You know, we move into another legislative session, and obviously it's an election year session, so it can be contentious. But again, the governor is not someone that, you know, is inconsistent. He's going to stay consistent in doing what's right for our state.
You know, Maryland's a little bit unique too, because, you know, you have Bush and Miller, who seem to control pretty much Annapolis. And, you know, we have a state where, especially after the redistricting and everything else, it seems to be one of those things where one party is so dominant. Are you seeing a little bit of maybe headway with that now, the fact that he's reached out and tried to be bipartisan?
You're starting to see that, but again, you know, we're dealing with a 90-day legislative session. It's a majority Democrat legislature with the governor, who's Republican, in the governor's mansion. You have to work together. One of the unique things about Annapolis in the legislative session is that you have 90 days to get work done, unlike Washington, which is this perpetual cycle of, you know, partisanship on a daily basis. You know, the legislature and the governor have to get a budget through and also fund education within 90 days of the legislative session. So the calendar and the Constitution sort of forces, no matter which party is in power, to work with another party to get things done.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, things will continue to move forward in a positive way. I mean, you know, obviously it's easy. I know he got a little bit of backlash with the statue coming down, a few other things. But, I mean, I think there's some major accomplishments that this administration's done, especially when, again, you're a heavily Democratic state and a Republican governor, which is, you know, rare. I mean, we've had a couple in the last, 9 years, but it's still rare. What do you think are some major accomplishments so far?
Well, one of the major compliments is that the governor has gotten rid of over 200 fees that were onerous on a lot of small businesses and citizens, that he, through an executive order, was able to wipe out over 200 fees, this sort of nickel and diming of our citizens that was sort of a hardship for our folks.
Like the rain tax.
Right, things like that. The other is that you have the governor last legislative session introduced and had a major piece of legislation passed, which was the More Jobs for Maryland Act. This is a piece of legislation that the governor introduced and supported and pushed through the legislature, where it is designed to create jobs here in our state by having tax breaks and tax holidays for businesses that come into distressed areas, such as Baltimore County, Baltimore City, areas of the Eastern Shore in Western Maryland that are considered distressed counties that don't see a whole lot of economic development. But if you're a manufacturer and you come into these counties and you create jobs, there are some incentives in terms of workforce development and training, but also tax incentives for those businesses so that they can create these jobs. So that's that was a major piece of legislation that the governor had. The other piece of legislation took place as it relates to criminal justice was the justice reinvestment. You know, the governor believes in second chances. He believes in folks, you know, for minor criminal offenses, those types of things. If it gets on your record, you shouldn't have to be punished for the rest of your life. So working with Democrats and the legislature, he was able to get through the Justice Reinvestment Act that allows folks to, you know, serve, you know, pay their dues after committing a crime, but also make sure that they have the necessary resources and ability to go back out and be productive citizens. That was the work of bipartisanship and the leadership of the of Governor Hogan.
You know, Maryland's been known for years to be a one of the best states for families with special needs kids. There's been some talk about maybe that those benefits are maybe being scaled back a little bit. Do you know too much about that?
We don't know much. As I said, the next session starts in January. The governor is, he finds education being the top priority of his administration, and wants to, in terms of continuing the funding, especially on the special needs. We have folks in the administration that are working with the disabilities community, those types of things, to push for some legislation. So as we move forward, we'll be working on those types of things.
All right. I guess one of my last questions would be, like, the Maryland housing scene, what do you see going on there? I mean, now that home values have gone up, you know, we have a really unique but very well-lauded tax system where we do one-third of the state and do it every 3 years. That should hopefully help some of the coffers, right?
That definitely helps some of the coffers with the home values going up. Again, you can look toward the record of Governor Hogan in terms of holding the line on any tax increases and not having tax increases. He's made some modest tax cuts, particularly to our heroes, such as retired police, correctional officers, in terms of income tax reduction. He's also looking toward being more fiscal responsible in terms of looking to work with the housing industry to promote home ownership, to make it easier and simpler and cheaper for folks, the first-time home buyers, to be part of the American dream. And again, you know, when you go buy a house, some of the first thing customers are asking for, especially if they have young children, what are the schools? And the governor has a record in terms of increased funding of our public education system to make sure our schools are well-funded, that the funds are going to the classroom. So all that helps in the housing piece. In Baltimore City, the governor created an initiative called Project CORE, where $75 million has been targeted to blight elimination. So you're seeing over a year, over 1,200 vacant houses or structures in Baltimore City have been torn down in partnership with the city and the state under the governor's leadership. These dilapidated houses have been cleared and ready for redevelopment. The land has been ready for redevelopment. Just a couple of weeks ago, the governor is at Walbrook Mill in West Baltimore, right off of North Avenue, for a structure that needed to be taken down. It was an old mill yard, and that structure has been taken down, and it will now serve for senior housing in an area of West Baltimore that sorely needs. So those are some of the things that this governor has done in terms of helping in the housing field.
All right, excellent. Well, if the governor wants any free advisory. He can always he can tell him to give me a call. I'd be happy to talk to him about some housing ideas I have to help. But hey, listen.
Hey, absolutely. I may need some of that too, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate it. We got to jump off because we're out of the time. I appreciate you coming on. We'll try to get you on again another time. Safe travels, my friend.
Absolutely.
And I'll talk to you soon. Hey, you know, maybe not a pleasant topic, but one we often deal with, divorce. And there's so many nuances that go along with this. We're bringing an expert next hour, Steve Bryant from Synergy Divorce Solutions. And we're going to talk about all the things going on with the new tax laws, new mortgage laws, everything else that goes along with divorce. If you know anyone, or unfortunately, maybe you're going through a divorce, please tune in or tell them to tune in. Great stuff. Don't go anywhere.